Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
An Erio's original.
Hello, everybody. It is me, Lydia Greengrass de Avila-Dejo, and welcome to another episode of Let's Talk with me, Lydia Greengrass de Avila-Dejo. Today is such a special show. I'm talking to big-time Hollywood director Andrew DeYoung, and something really special happened. I was talking with Andrew, and you'll hear it, but, you know, I kind of bring up the Stephanie Chronicles, and it's... You know, if it could be a television show, you know, that's been kind of brewing in the back of my head. And Andrew encouraged me in such a way that I decided to write up a little scene from the prospective pilot, which is the first show in the string of shows. That would be the pilot episode is what they say, is because it's the first, you know, who's at the head of the plane, it's the pilot. So, you know, it's the first show. So I wrote up a little something. So after my interview with Andrew, I do a reading with my good friend Keith Cusso, who's been on the show before, who was kind enough to help me out. And we, you know, it was great getting it up on its feet. So please stay tuned after my interview to hear the first episode of the Stephanie Chronicles, a scene from that. And otherwise, you know, I hope everyone's having a wonderful Thanksgiving week. I hope the turkeys are flowing. I hope your tummies are stuffed. And, I hope everyone's being careful, most of all. And let's get this show on the road.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, 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 hello. Here we go. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Let's Talk with me, Lydia Greengrass de Alvaladejo. I am your host, Lydia Greengrass de Alvaladejo, and I am so... It is such a special day because we have such a special guest. You know, the industry is a place where, and the industry, I'm talking about Hollywood. People, you know, there are actors, there are actresses, there are directors, there are writers, there are painters, and there are dancers. But the person we're talking to today is someone who does one of the things I just said, and that's directing, and that is a television director, Andrew DeYoung. Andrew, welcome to Let's Talk.
Hi, Lydia. How are you doing? Thanks for having me.
But I want to talk to you about directing in Hollywood. You're a big-time Hollywood guy, and I want to know what it's like.
Thanks. I wouldn't say I'm a big time Hollywood guy.
Well, but... I know that's what they all say. They always say, oh no, don't, not me. I'm not. And you know, but from the outside looking in, you know, when you're looking at your own reflection in the mirror, you know, you don't say, oh, that's me in there. You say, oh, there's another guy over there. You know what I mean? And so, yeah. I'm not seeing the reflection though. I'm seeing you and I'm saying, well, that guy's the big stuff. And so,
thank you.
So I'm, you know, how did you get started? What was the, you know, what was the incident where you said, I need to be a Hollywood director?
The incident. I decided to do it, or I wanted to pursue it in like high school, and went to college and just started to make things, and a little luck and all that kind of stuff happens. The next thing you know, you're working.
And it says that you were a gaffer on To Each His Own.
Yeah, that was the first kind of place I started. One of the first jobs I had.
To Each His Own, a short drama. Science fiction. Mm-hmm. Dom and Katie live together and are expecting their first child. One day, Katie goes missing. Oh, you're kidding. Dom turns to his neighbor for support, and he goes on to learn that the most important component to living is the soul. Oh, I love this. So you wrote this and you directed this.
That was an early job where I was just gaffing on it, which is not really creative job in the how you would think. I don't have anything to do with the story or anything like that. But
and what's gaffing?
People are still trying to figure it out.
I love that. I love it. I know a lot of people in the business, in my business, which is team building and self-help, that are saying the same thing.
No, I was just playing around. It's lighting based.
Oh,
kind of
okay. Yes. Ooh. Now, Andrew, ooh, I'm looking here. So you did the Babysitter's Club.
I did. Yeah.
The Truth About Stacy. Okay, so this is something that's coming out soon.
It's actually out already.
Oh, I can't wait. And so in this episode, Stacy tries to manage her diabetes, you're kidding, and worries about what people will think when they find out she has it.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. So then what, so was the actor was it something on set where it was kind of, I've heard things about a quiet set, you know, where when you're doing serious scenes, you know, people have to be quiet and they have to, you know, stay to the sidelines. Was that kind of what this seems like, a very serious episode?
Yeah, well, most people have to be quiet on set because, you know, you're rolling sound and you don't want to hear other, you know, you don't want to hear anything else outside of what you're trying to film.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, people were quiet, and yeah, it was very serious because it's a serious topic, you know, and you want to treat it with respect and not, it's not a light thing. It's very serious.
Look at this. Then I'm just, Sophie Grace plays Christy Thomas. You know, all these young girls that just get into the acting business. Now, were you, you know, when you were around all of these young babysitter girls, you know, was there talk of, you know, that they had a good head on their shoulders and they were, that, you know, they had parents to take care of them? You know, what is it, you know, looking from the outside in, is that something that concerns you?
No, they all had parents to take care of them, which is always good to see. No, they were like little angels who were so talented and sweet and excited to be there.
I love that. Because you do hear, you know, a couple bad apples, you know, some bad apples, you know, like the Drew Barrymores and the Brooke Shields and those kinds that are just, you know, kind of, they've got a little glimmer in their eyes where you just go, oh, you know, they might be a little older than they, you know, they may be winking, you know, to the audience a little, saying, oh, I know a little more than you do. You know what I mean?
Unpack that a little bit. The bad apples. What makes you say their Brooke Shields is a bad apple?
You know, just the you know, the strut and the hair, you know, the long hair and you know, the walk and the talk, and you know some girls, you know, they just have that about them. And then, but I'm looking at these babysitter girls and I'm thinking, well, gosh, you know, this is 2020 right here, because these look like just sharp, young, put together gals who seem to have good heads on their shoulders.
Yeah, that's who they are.
So, Andrew, I'm looking to get into, you know, I have a novel I'm writing.
Cool.
It's a young adult novel. It's called The Stephanie Chronicles.
The Stephanie Chronicles?
Yes, it follows Stephanie Smith in her search to find love and life and laughter after her father dies and leaves her his old gray suitcase. And she has to go to boarding school. Where she meets Danny Fender, who is a, you know, a rough and tumble boy, a no good boy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I had Martin Garrow on the show and I talked to him about, you know, what would it look like as a television show? And then, you know, so do you think, you know, let's say I did make the Stephanie Chronicles into a television show, you know, something that was along the lines of the Babysitter's Club. Mm-hmm. Is that something that maybe I would be able to direct? And if so, what does a director do and how and what are the steps?
Yeah, I mean, the Stephanie Chronicles sounds great. Quickly, though, so she inherits this gray suitcase.
That darn gray suitcase that her father left her.
And what's in it? I'm dying to hear.
Well, there's nothing in it. It's just a suitcase. And there's nothing in it.
Oh,
and then she's packing. So when we meet Stephanie, it's her father has just died because he has murdered himself. He has killed himself by slitting his own throat.
Oh, gosh.
And so when we pick up with Stephanie, it's after the funeral and her stepmother aren't getting along.
Mm-hmm.
And so she says, you know, I'm going back to boarding school and I don't think I'll ever see you again. And I'm taking this darn gray suitcase, you know, mm-hmm. and then she's on the train back to school. And that's when we meet Danny Fender. And, you know, this is where I was thinking that it might be interesting if something happened in space where maybe it's a space school or something where it kind of goes interplanetary.
Oh, yeah, that's interesting. So how much of the book have you written?
A couple chapters. Yeah. There's a really great scene with her and Danny Fender on the train where Danny kind of, you know, he calls her bluff because she's, you know, sitting there all kind, you know, just sitting there with her furrowed brow. And he goes, you know, lighten up, you know, Stephanie. And she's never been talked to like that. And so it's this breakdown of character.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I mean, I think once you put some more material together, And it's, you know, you kind of have to have a some idea of a complete story. Then you would, you know, team with a producer and then, you know, pitch the show to a network. And yeah, sometimes the creator of the show, if, you know, the network believes in them enough, can also direct the show.
I just think that would be because, you know, you look at these directors like you and you just, you know, you have this control over the story. You have the control over the people and the, you know, you don't have other people coming in and going, oh, wait, you know, I thought Stephanie was supposed to have freckles, you know, and then you go, well, I don't think so. You know, Stephanie doesn't have freckles, you know, so.
Yeah, exactly. You could do freckles and all kinds of other choices. And,
no, she wouldn't have freckles.
No, I'm just saying, like, as a director, you could kind of add freckles to characters because you have the creative license.
So what is it that you love about directing, Andrew?
I mean, it's kind of what we were just talking about. It's fun to be creative and have that, you know, create that outlet and to collaborate and I mean, that's to make something is like...
Collaboration is such a good word because collaboration in team building, that's, you know, that's a big word right there. That's the word, collaborate.
Yeah.
And you just hit on it. And as a director, Andrew, correct me if I'm wrong, but you are the master of ceremonies, aren't you? And so if you're ready to collaborate, well then, gosh, I think everyone else is going to be ready to collaborate too.
Well said. I think, you know, like what you are, a professional in the team building world and a set is a team and you really need to be on the same page to be successful.
A team. Oh, you're saying so many good words, collaboration, team. You know, this is what people don't understand about Hollywood. You know, people look at the Robert Downey Jr.'s and they say, oh, that's just one guy. That's that guy right there, you know, or the Brad Pitts. And they go, oh, that's just one guy. But it's a team, isn't it, Andrew? It's a whole team. You know, you got to be a team player.
Yeah, absolutely, Lydia. It's really necessary to be a leader and encourage leadership in throughout the set as well.
So what is your, I see on your list here that you're doing a lot of TV shows, you know, what's your dream project? You know, let's say I'm Mr. Hollywood over here or Miss Hollywood. And I say to you, Andrew, come into my office, take a seat, you know, have a ginger ale. And what's the deal? What's your dream project? Let me empty my pockets here.
God, it's such a good question that always stumps me. God, I don't know. Maybe something like the Stephanie Chronicles.
You're kidding. So something, a tale as old as time, really is just the story of a girl finding herself, you know, and becoming a well-developed individual in this world.
Yeah. Something like that sounds really exciting and important.
I think so too. Yeah. So, you know, and yes, if that's interesting. And so your dream project would be, you know, just a really great story about, you know, about people.
Exactly. Yes. I mean, I don't know how to put it better. I think like, you know, coming of age, stories at any age.
Coming of age, yes.
At any age.
You know, I still am coming of age, Andrew, if you can believe it. You know, there's no finish line.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, you know, people always say, oh, a coming of age story, and they usually mean, you know, in their teens. And I'm saying, well, gosh, you know, I haven't come of age yet, believe it or not, you know.
Yeah, coming of age at any age is the stories I gravitate to and want to make. And
And what movies move you? You know what? You know, it seems like you're very much a cinema guy. You know, mm-hmm. you're a television guy. What's the big, you know, let's go the big three. What's the 1, 2, 3, you know, hit this ball out of the park.
Oh, those are the ones, Lydia, that get me going. Oh. That is so tricky.
I know. Well, these are,
how
you know,
dare you put me on the spot?
Like,
how dare you put me on the spot? God, I always get stumped at these kinds of questions. I would say
I'll give you mine. I'll say
please.
Oh no, I've stumped myself at my own game.
Give me just you know, one.
Bridget. Bridget Jones.
Bridget Jones' Diary.
Yes. I love that movie. I love her spunk.
Classic.
And I love it. And then, you know, Colin Firth and his whole, Bridget, you're not all you think you are, you know, and it's just it's the classic love story.
Yeah. No, I it's love it. Good. No, have you seen 9 Months?
With you?
With Hugh, yeah.
Yes.
That's up there with
Julianne.
Yeah, that's up there with my, that's probably one of my number ones.
No way, Andrew. I don't believe you.
I don't believe in ranking. I don't believe in ranking. They're all kind of number one, but yeah, I mean, Hugh's huge for me.
He's
huge.
So good. So good with his eyes. You know, sometimes you wonder, how can someone make so much noise with their eyes? You know what I mean?
Well said. Yeah.
So what's, I don't believe you that it's 9 months because I know it's a chick flick, you know, as they say. Let's hear it, Andrew. What's the
feel good movie is a feel good movie for everybody.
I love that. See, and I think that's so fun to say something like that because I think that's so true.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think people sometimes get a little afraid to say, oh, yeah, you know, I do like this because maybe they'll be afraid to be judged because there's so much of our life. Sorry, I have to close a few tabs here. So what would you say to someone, you know, say there's a young kid, let's say you are talking to a Stephanie Smith type character who says, hey, I want to get into the business. What do you say? Do you say run for the hills?
I lost you, Lydia.
Hello?
Yeah, I lost you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
You said, what would you say to someone? And then I lost you.
Oh, I was saying to someone who wants to get into directing, what would you say?
What would I say? I would say, like, make your own stuff, make a lot of it, find a group of people that you that you trust and will make stuff with, and you'll support each other. Keep going.
Oh, I love to see. Now, you should teach a class, you know, because this is all stuff that's just, it's such a crossover into the things that I teach in my lectures and you know, when I do my seminars. It's all the same, and you see the crossovers. You see, you know, it doesn't matter if you're Mr., you know, if you're the real estate guy or you're the Hollywood guy, it's all the same. You know,
it's all dreams.
Yes, it's all dreams, and it's the realization of those dreams, and also the realization that you can't do it alone, can you?
No, that's a myth. You got to have
a
team.
I love teams. Oh, you've put such a smile. What was that, Andrew?
No, I was curious. Are you a positive thinking person? Do you practice positive thinking in your work?
Yeah. Oh, yes. I mean, I am all for, you know, half glass, half full. You know, glass is all full, really. You know, there's no half about it. Because, you know, we live this one life. And let's drink the glass and let's keep filling it up. I mean, there's no reason to not continuously fill up our cups.
Yeah, that's nice. I like that. So can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm, of course. Ooh, I love it. Turning the table.
So teamwork, not always a smooth process, right?
No.
So
and
how?
That's when they call me, yes.
Ah,
that's
exactly.
When they call me, and,
And this is why it's so nice to talk to you, because I'm wondering, like, what would you do when you have to deal with a difficult person within your team? That's very important. A very important part of the process.
Well, that is such a good question. And this is something a lot of people are afraid to ask, because they do, you know, it's, you know, when you're doing a seminar with a group of people, you don't want one person going, well, you know, I get all this, Lydia, but what about Joe Bundles over here, or Mr., mm-hmm. you know, Mr. Guy over here who doesn't want to listen to this stuff.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, it's all about responsibility. You find something that someone can be comfortable in doing. You find something, because you know what? A lot of times a person is causing a stir because they can't understand what the heck's going on around them. A lot of times they're going, well, I'm going to, you know, I don't know what to do in this situation, so I'm just going to scream at the top of my lungs.
Yeah, exactly.
So what you want to do in a setting where you're working as a team is you want to make sure you give responsibility to the person. Sorry, I just got a text. To the person who's, you want to make sure you give responsibility to the person who's making the most noise, and you want to give them a job that they're going to feel good about. Because, you know,
very smart.
It's, and you don't want to say, oh, they're causing too much of a stir, put them in the corner.
Yeah.
Andrew, what did they say in that in the big movie? The big, they said, don't put baby in the corner.
Sure. Yeah. That makes sense.
And it's because baby was making a lot of noise and baby wasn't going to stand for it, you know?
Sure. Yeah, no, that is nice. It's a tricky thing for sure. But you're giving me the kind of the broad strokes of how to.
Yes, it's a much bigger picture. And, you know, it does come down to the person. You know, I like to, because I'm also a self-help, you know, guru, just a specialist. And I do one-on-one self-help sessions. And it does help to know the person and know, you know, it helps to get inside their mind a little and go, what is making this person not want to be a team player?
Wow.
Because it's different, because as you know, we're not all the same.
Yeah. No, that really kind of, there's something profound in what you just said.
Yeah.
That really registered with me.
Yeah. No, it's
hard,
a whole,
though.
And if, you know, yeah, no, it is hard. But as they say, you know, it ain't easy. It ain't easy.
No, sometimes you get really angry, right?
Of course. But, you know, you can't let your anger control you. And sometimes anger is merely just crying, that, you know, dry crying.
Dry crying.
Just answering a text.
What exactly is dry crying?
Well, getting angry and screaming. You know, some would say that screaming is just someone asking for help in a very different way.
Unless they're actually asking, screaming for help.
Of course, but you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Andrew, this has been so illuminating. I am so happy I got to talk to you. I'm going to check out the Babysitters Club and everything else you're doing here. And I'm so excited that you're one of the guys out there, you know, directing, because I think you've got it.
Well, that's so nice. Thank you for reaching out and asking me to be on your podcast. I've known about you for a while.
All right. Well, keep up the good work. And until next time, goodbye. Okay, so welcome back, everybody. This is Lydia Greengrass de Avaladejo again. And, you know, since my interview with Andrew DeYoung, it got me thinking that, you know, I should really try and put Stephanie into action and see what, you know, a television script might actually sound like, you know. So I have my friend, oldest friend there is, Keith Cusso here. Keith. I love that. That's your theme song. So, Keith, thank you so much for helping me out. So I called you and I just said, will you, because I know you're into the arts, you know, you play the bass, but, you know, you love drama and you know, I've always known you to love movies. And I said, would you be willing to play some parts in this little scene I wrote up?
I fucking love, I love the bass, and you know, I love drama. You, I think if we're going back to the Azusa Pacific days, you know, I love drama. You know.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. And I just love being creative and just like, you know, like it's not a choice for me. I have to do this so I don't go insane.
And that's what a lot of artists say, you know. They say that they have to do it or else their mind would explode, their brain would explode, you know? And so that's the vision of a true artist.
Absolutely. My mind would explode. My mind would explode. And I don't know when it would happen. It could happen when I'm at work at GameStop. It could happen when I'm driving, but my mind would explode.
And that's scary. So, Keith, what I've sent you here, and you should have the script in front of you, is just a scene. So, the last time we met Stephanie, she was boarding the spaceship to her boarding school because she was blasting off into space for a space field trip. Because I was thinking before it all took place on Earth, but then I said, well, what if we looked up to the stars and we sent her into the stars? And so now I've kind of put Stephanie amongst the stars on a spaceship on a very important mission.
I love it. I love everything about it. I love acting and I love watching movies and I love where you're going with this. And I'm looking at the script right now and this is my first time even looking at it. I don't know what happened. So like, I'm going to be finding out while I read it. And that feels like I'm getting launched into space too.
I love that. So yes, it's what they call a cold read, which is what I've heard is that, and I learned that from the acting teacher that came on my show, is it's when you just kind of, you feel it as it goes, you're just feeling as it goes. And so Keith, I'm going to read the stage directions. And then if you could play Dr. Lionel Ladarez and Jasmine.
Okay, so I'm going like maxed out nutty professor in this shit.
Yes. Oh, yes. So you will be playing. You will be playing both. And if I may just let you in on a little backstory. So Dr. Lionel Ladarez is a very well regarded doctor in space, and he's kind of the head of the space school program, and he's going to be taking Stephanie under his wing, but then Jasmine is his old favorite, and we're going to learn that because Stephanie's new in the space program, that Jasmine maybe isn't so jazzed that Lydia's there.
Do you think they got GameStop in space?
I hope so. But if they don't, I know the first guy I'd call to set up shop.
All right. I think I get it. I'm ready. I mean, this is my first turn as a thespian. And I mean, none of us know where this is going. So let's blast off.
Interior spaceship. Stephanie sits at the command console next to her flight advisor, Dr. Lionel Ladarez. The control panel is bright with colors, each button pertaining to a function for the ship.
All systems go for Planet Robin's Bluff.
Thank you, Dr. Oh, and I'm playing Stephanie. Thank you, Dr. Ladarez. All systems go. The rocket shakes as they blast off toward the stars. Stephanie smiles at the roller coaster of a lifetime.
Prepare for hyperspeed.
The rocket goes into hyperspeed and the stars whiz by. All of a sudden, then, they're they are in a universe of rainbow colors. Stephanie, I've never seen anything like it. The universe is a magical place.
Man, the controls for a moment, would you, Stephanie? I have to check the rear gauge wheels.
Copy that, Doctor. Just then, Jasmine comes to the front of the pod.
I bet you think you're so special that Dr. Ladera's picked you to help with the takeoff.
Not special, Jasmine, just grateful.
Don't get too comfortable up here, Stephanie. Before you transferred to the space program, I was the big gal on campus, spaceship, and I ran this place. You see, Dr. Ladera's has always put his trust in me. And all of a sudden, you come in here and you think you're all that in a bag of chips? Well, you aren't.
Jasmine, maybe we could talk. It seems like you have a problem with me, and I don't understand why. Did you know that my father died a couple weeks ago?
I didn't know that.
Yes, he did. He slit his own throat with a knife, and I just got back from his funeral.
Is that where you got that gray suitcase?
Yes. Damn that old gray suitcase. Stephanie pulls the suitcase up from the storage compartment at her feet.
I'm sorry for your loss. My dad has cancer.
What kind?
Liver. There are 200,000 U.S. cases per year, and he is one of them.
I'm sorry, Jasmine. That's a lot for a young girl to handle. I'm sure it's affecting you in ways you can't even comprehend.
Maybe. Who knows? Maybe if he passes, I'll get my own gray suitcase to remember him by.
Just then, the spaceship rumbles. Sparks start to fly. What's happening? Jasmine rushes to the control panel.
It's the fuel throttles. They're clogged. Get the X1 capacitor from the overhead compartment. This baby is going to have to go manual.
Dr. Ladera's returns covered in brown goo. Dr. Ladera's, what happened?
The fuel throttles. They exploded when I was fixing the rear gauge wheel. This isn't good. Jasmine, tell the students to prepare for landing. Landing? But we aren't even close to Planet Robin's Bluff.
She points to the electronic map.
We will never make it there with the fuel throttles like this. We have to make a crash landing.
Stephanie's eyes widen in fear. But according to these calculations, the nearest planet is...
Planet Flyndorn. But isn't that the most dangerous planet in the universe? Yes.
Stephanie and Jasmine look at each other. Jasmine gets on the microphone.
Class, prepare for emergency landing on planet Flyndorn.
This should be interesting. Scene. So, the thing is, I'd never written a script before, and I just thought that the characters kind of flew off the pages.
That was incredible. How do you thought of that? You thought, this is space. How do you do it?
I've seen the boys love to watch their Star Wars, and I've just been reading up on, I follow the Tesla program, and I just think that I kind of get a feel for what it's like up there. I may not know all the technical aspects, but I sure do, like the rain, the universe, the hyperspeed, and that suddenly they're in a universe of rainbows, and all that is just kind of from feeling out what space could be,
And plus, it was dense as shit. And I mean that as a compliment. Like on one hand, like Stephanie's father undoubtedly dealing with his own demons, slitting his own throat. Devastating. Like already, like tears, thrills, chills, whatever. But then Jasmine being like, not so fast. And I love the big gal on campus. So it's comedy mixed in with drama too. And I love that she's like, well, not so fast, cowgirl. My dad is one of the 200,000 people in this country dealing with liver cancer. And that's called a paradox. So I'm blown the F away. How do you, mom, podcaster, life coach, screenwriter? This is nuts.
I know. It's very, I mean, I just took to it. I don't know. I just, you know, they started flowing out of me. And you know why I like it better than doing the story, you know, like the novel, is that I don't have to write as many words. Keith, are you there?
Yeah, no, I'm just thinking, I tried reading this thing. People are like, Keith, that's for kids. But I was like, I don't know. I believe the hype or I don't, you know, I'm open-minded. I don't, and I hate labels. I deplore labels. I don't like labels on anything. Like, put A Nightmare on Elm Street in the kids section for all I care. I don't care. But I read this book called Where the Red Fern Grows, and it's just about these goddamn dogs. But like, I got turned off by it so quickly because I was like, what is up with all of these words? And like, you know, someone at work was like, well, Keith, I'm pretty sure that's called a novel. But I was like, there are only so many hours in the day, and I'm not interested. That's why something like a script is so great, because it's like, now we're talking. Now you have my attention. And that's what's
it's
so
go,
dumb.
Go. It's go, 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 go. You know, there's no time to stop and catch your breath. And that's, you know, putting Stephanie in this scenario where she doesn't have time to think, you know, doesn't have time to wander around. She's got to go, you know, the fuel throttles are clogged, and that's something that she's going to have to deal with. And her whole class depends on it.
Plus, there's mad tension between her and Lionel. Like, you have to tell me what happens, because that's, Jasmine wouldn't be so threatened if there weren't fireworks between her and Lionel. And that's...
Well, I'm thinking, you know, it's been my plan from day one that he, you know, Lionel turns out to be a homosexual.
Because he's a pilot?
Oh, I don't know. I just thought, you know, it would be a good way to bring awareness to people. You know, is to have a homosexual character.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. It's, wow.
What, Keith, I can't thank you enough for doing this. I mean, you brought the characters to life. You stood, you know, I couldn't have played two characters like that, right? You know, and to be honest, you brought life to them right off the page.
Do you think I have talent?
Absolutely, I do. Absolutely, I do. And I know you were thinking of getting those glamour shots, or the pictures. And I think you should do that, because I think that you're someone that maybe is drawn to the theater.
It means so much to me just hearing someone say it. Like, yeah, I'm in talks with this dude at the Yorktown Mall, and he's like, look, it's not rocket science. We don't even have to do it at the mall. Like, maybe you just come to my house and we snap off a quick roll. And you bring, he said, bring like 2 to 3 looks. I guess that's what they call it. And he's like, maybe one of the looks is just you in a Kansas City Chiefs Joe Montana jersey and nothing. And, you know, it's long. And then maybe some socks and nothing else, and maybe not socks, you know? So whatever it is that gets the people who hire actors to be like, stop the presses. Who is this? Like, is there sex? Sure. But there's also the mystery in these glamour shots. So, you know, after today, I'm definitely going to do it. He said he likes me, and he's going to give me a discount at like $1,100. And, you know, it might involve some more credit, but, you know, some more debt. But it's not really debt, is it? It's an investment. And that's how I should look at it.
I think that's such a great idea. And I am so looking forward to seeing those. And Keith, I can't thank you enough. You know, I'm going to continue on. And once this television pilot, which is the first of the, you know, the entire show, is finished, you'll be there. You know, I'd love for you to read for one of the who knows, Dr. Lionel Lederes, you know? Well, Keith, thank you so much, and we'll talk soon, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Powered by Acast.
This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.